MidpointMonday.com.
Welcome to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. It's a historic week, and we'll touch on several highlights during the show today, including tomorrow's two Senate runoff elections in Georgia. We'll also hear about Wednesday's certification of the Electoral College results in Congress. Today, my guest will be Democratic Congressmember Kathy Castor from Tampa. As we begin the show, here's a public service announcement. Both Pinellas County and Hillsborough County have begun accepting vaccine reservations today. Information for Pinellas residents is being posted this hour at pinellas.floridahealth.gov. Hillsborough residents could sign up beginning at 9 this morning, though the website quickly crashed due to high traffic. Here's the website, hillsboroughcounty.org. Well, joining us now by Zoom is Congressmember Kathy Castor. The Democrat has represented the Tampa area since 2007. Before that, she was a Hillsborough County Commissioner. Castor is the chair of the United States House Select Committee on the Climate Crisis. Welcome back to WMNF's Midpoint Monday, Representative Castor.
Hi, Sean, and I want to wish you and all the WMNF listeners a happier new year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you as well. Well, I'm glad you can join us during such a very busy week. Yesterday, the new session of Congress was convened. Democrats have a slim majority in your chamber in the House, but the balance in the Senate rests on tomorrow's runoff election for two Senate seats in Georgia. What would it mean for your party to win both of those seats and to have Vice President Kamala Harris to be the tie-breaking vote in the Senate?
Yeah, there is so much at stake. Think about an increase to the national minimum wage that has not been increased for over 10 years. Think about what we have to do to unleash our clean energy future and tackle the climate crisis. We've got to do more on COVID emergency aid, and we know that Mitch McConnell has been a roadblock to moving emergency aid in a time frame that it's needed and at a scale that it's needed. Those are just a few of the highlights of what really is at stake in these Georgia runoffs.
Do you have any idea of what might happen? Have you looked at the polls? Any thoughts on what might happen tomorrow?
You know, I've had an opportunity to talk with some of my colleagues from the state of Georgia and ask them how they're feeling and how it looks, and they just say it's going to be very close. And I was curious, were they allowed to tabulate some of the early votes in advance? Because that was such a problem after the November election. Many states were not permitted to, like we do in Hillsborough County, you know, tabulate them early, not report the results, but at least get the process going. And they said that, yes, they thought they were allowed to do that, but it's still in a close election. It still may not be decided that evening, tomorrow night.
Well, we're going to stay on Georgia for just a second. Over the weekend, there was an explosive phone recording that came out where outgoing President Donald Trump can be heard pleading with Georgia's election chief to overturn President-elect Joe Biden's win in the state. Trump suggests in the telephone call that the official find enough votes to hand Trump the victory there. What's your reaction to what you heard from the president in that phone call?
It's a morally repugnant When I first heard it, like everyone else, I was taken aback that he's so blatantly dishonest, depraved. He's desperate. But to take it to this extent, really is so anti-democratic. And it's almost like, okay, we've come to expect that from our president. It's unbelievable. But what is truly troubling, how many members of Congress, how many Republican members of Congress are going to go along with this charade that borders on treason? I mean, you could argue this is treasonous. It's sedition. It's something that our founding fathers pointed out as sedition, fomenting a rebellion against your own government. So we intend to handle this with the dignity it requires, to ensure that folks all across America understand that this election was an election with integrity. And we want to thank all of the election workers. Boy, Hillsborough County, again, and Craig Latimer really was a shining light. Isn't it interesting that they are not challenging the seating of Republican members from those same states? that the president thinks that there was fraud. So hopefully, you know, we have 16 days left of this nightmare of the Trump.
We're speaking with Kathy Castor. She's a Congress member from Tampa. We've gotten a little bit of a frozen feed here. It looks like she's in her office in Washington, D.C., and I guess we're having some technical difficulties, but we'll bring her back on just as soon as possible. You're listening to WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM. Maybe what we'll do is, since we've lost Representative Castor for at least hopefully just temporarily, what I'll do right now is I will play some of that tape of President Trump that we were just talking about. This is over the weekend. President Trump was speaking with the elections chief in Georgia about overturning the election. The call was the latest step in an unprecedented effort by a sitting American president to reverse the outcome of a free and fair election that he lost. Trump's conversation is with Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger. Here, we'll hear just a minute or two of that.
In Georgia, based on all of this, and there's nothing wrong with saying that, Brad. You know, I mean, the people of Georgia are angry. And these numbers are going to be repeated on Monday night, along with others that we're going to have by that time, which are much more substantial even. And the people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated.
Well, that's a little bit of what President Trump was saying over the weekend. And we have Representative Castor back with us, I believe. Hi, Representative Castor. Getting another frozen screen, unfortunately, and there's a message, in case you can hear me, that it says your bandwidth is low, so I don't know if you want to jump back on maybe without video, but we'll hear a little bit more of what President Trump was saying over the weekend.
Yes.
Oh, you're
yes,
back now,
thank you.
Representative Castor, can you hear us? Well, here's a little bit more of what President Trump was saying.
We have won this election in Georgia based on all of this. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, Brad. You know, I mean, the people of Georgia are angry. And these numbers are going to be repeated on Monday night, along with others that we're going to have by that time, which are much more substantial even. And the people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
Now, do you think it's possible that they shredded ballots in Fulton County? Because that's what the rumor is. And also that Dominion took out machines. That Dominion is really moving fast to get rid of their machinery. Do you know anything about that? Because that's illegal.
This is Ryan, Germany. No, Dominion has not moved any machinery out of Fulton County. We're having
have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts?
No.
You sure, Ryan?
I'm sure.
You should want to have an accurate election. And you're a Republican.
We believe that we do have an accurate election.
No, I know you don't. No, you don't. You don't have. Not even close. You're off by hundreds of thousands of votes. You know what they did, and you're not reporting it. That's a criminal offense.
We're going to try back again to see if we have Representative Castor. Are you there? All right, well, we don't have Representative Castor, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a couple of emails that have come in since the beginning of the show to talk about our conversation. This is WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM. And Linda writes that about Trump and his followers. She says, have you noticed how Trump is always putting his fist up in the air, similar to Hitler with his hand in the air? Now, I just saw Ted Cruz doing the same thing. I guess they think that's going to help them. That's an email we got from Linda. Also, here's another email that came in from Troy. all callers seem to be forgetting the feedback loop that Trump lives within. He probably believes some of the junk that is inserted into the Trump media network. I think the term is hoisted. I'm not going to read that part. It's the snake eating its own tail, is what Troy writes. And we have another email from David. He is writing, I'm so proud. I'm a proud constituent of Kathy Castor, and I think she's represented Tampa very well in Congress. I was wondering if she could comment about Trump and his increasingly unhinged actions. Could we possibly get him out of office sooner than January 20th via the 25th Amendment is what David is asking. He writes, I think Trump is dangerous and should be deposed ASAP. So that's what David writes. And we're going to try one more time to see if we have Representative Castor on the line. Are you there, Representative Castor? Let me unmute you. I'm not able to. Are you able to unmute there? All right. Sorry about all the technical problems. Oh, there. You're unmuted now. Oh, there you are. Are you able to hear us? Great. I apologize for our technical difficulties, but we do have Representative Castor back on the line. Welcome back to WMNF.
Yeah, and I apologize, Sean, for the Wi-Fi here in the U.S. Capitol. You would think it would be better, but I really appreciate the comments of a lot of the callers. This, you know, we're facing a number of crises right now. Of course, COVID-19, we have a climate emergency, but we have a true crisis in our democracy that we have so many GOP members of Congress that are going to play along with this corrupt president. Unfortunately, no, I think we have to make it through these next 16 days and look forward to President Joe Biden, who has said he wants to work to bring this country together. But I tell you, we need to make it through this week first. And we have a plan to stand up for the Constitution on Wednesday when certain seditious GOP members bring objections to the Electoral College tabulation.
What plan are you talking about?
Well, we've discussed it in the Democratic caucus that we intend to focus on the integrity of the election. We're not going to replay the nightmare of the Trump presidency of the last 4 years. We want to look forward. This is really a ministerial function of the Constitution to accept the state tabulation of the Electoral College. The vice president will preside, and his role is simply to read the numbers that have been submitted from each state. One House member and one senator can submit a written objection. At that point, a member who wants to debate it, they get 2 minutes only to debate. It's a 2-hour limit per state, and our members who represent those states, we don't know which states are going to be challenged, but the members that represent those states will be prepared to address any misleading statements in any of the objections.
So there could be a delay, but it's unlike nothing major is going to happen. It's not going to overturn the results as they hope.
No, there is no way to do that. And so it may be a very long day on Wednesday, depending upon how many objections that they submit. We're anticipating it could go into the early morning hours of Thursday. But however long it takes, we're going to be here to stand up for the Constitution. The Democratic Party is united here in the Congress, and I think we will get a lot of Republican support. A lot of prominent Republicans have spoken out that what Trump and certain GOP members are trying to do is anti-democratic. It's something that you see in countries that are ruled by authoritarians and not a democracy. And kudos to them for standing up for our democratic process and our Constitution.
Our guest is Congressmember Kathy Castor. She represents parts of Tampa and Hillsborough County in Congress. And you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. Recently, the Congress passed and the president signed a COVID relief bill, the second one. The House passed two during the summer and fall, I believe, that the Senate just ignored. what's in the latest COVID-19 bill that people might not know about? Some people may have already gotten their $600 checks, but what else should people know about this one? And then afterwards, I'll ask you what comes next.
Well, I think importantly for the Tampa Bay area is the small business help through the Paycheck Protection Program. It was not perfect when it was first rolled out, but it was a vital lifeline to sustaining so many workers across our community. This time, the Paycheck Protection Program, we added a number of guardrails and are trying to target the money to the truly small businesses. The ones with 10 employees or less, especially, will receive help. There are going to be additional outreach.
We seem to have frozen again. I guess we're going to probably cancel the rest of the interview, but I appreciate Representative Castor coming on to the show. And if you'd like to join the conversation, the number to call in is 813-2388. Sorry, the number to call in is 239-9663 if you'd like to join this conversation. And we're going to read some of the emails. We'll go to the phones as well. But I really appreciate Congressmember Kathy Castor coming on. Kind of ironic that the infrastructure in Washington, D.C. and the Capitol is not up to snuff today. They keep the Zoom interview kept getting interrupted. So I apologize for that. Hopefully they can work that out in the new Congress to get better Wi-Fi for the Capitol. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. It's 12:22 in the afternoon. My name is Sean Canaan. You're listening to Midpoint Monday. So far this show, we've heard a conversation with Kathy Castor about what may happen this coming Wednesday in Congress when the electors, the Electoral College results get certified by Congress. And we've also heard a lot of tape from the conversation over the weekend where Donald Trump was speaking with the Georgia elections supervisor, elections official. What are your thoughts on that? We have a lot of emails that I'm going to go try to get to as many as possible, but we'd also like to hear from you if you call 813-239-9663. We have a text message from the area code 813, and this is a message from David, actually, and it says, I hope Representative Castor can come back at a later date when she's back in Tampa. So we'll definitely invite her and have her on soon, I'm sure. Also, another 813 area code text comes in and says, this is a traveling nurse. A very brief comment. I listened to the audio of the orange puppet, that's the traveling nurse's words. Based on my nursing experience, he sounds like he is mid-onset dementia. He needs to be in a lockdown maximum security unit where he could never have interaction with the public ever, ever again. This person is dangerous. With all this BS he is spewing, I would further add that why not put the entire family in the lockdown dementia unit with him and think they all deserve this? I think we'd be better off without them anywhere around us ever, ever again. I guess that is the opinion of one person out there. So thank you for that. Also, Alita writes, I live in Pinellas County. I went to the website described and called both phone numbers, which I've been trying since 9 a.m. One is busy. The other has a recording to try again later. I haven't gone to the email site yet prepared. So just to recap, at 12 noon, Pinellas County opened up their reservation system. That's at pinellas.floridahealth.gov. So I appreciate Alita calling in, and I'm sorry that she has not had good experiences. But if you've had good or bad experiences by going to pinellas.floridahealth.gov to try to sign up to get vaccinated, give us a call, 813-239-9663. I'd love to hear about your experience. Of course, it's kind of famous already 3 hours later that Hillsborough's website has crashed. It was taken down, really, it was taken offline kind of because of the high traffic at 9 this morning. Their first inoculations aren't until Wednesday, so I guess there's time still for them to fix it. But if you had experience, if you happen to have gotten through in either of those places, I'd love to hear from you, or in a lot of the other counties. Our reporter, Daniel, is working on a story right now about all the counties, how to sign up for vaccinations. And what he's learning so far is that the vaccine doses that they have right now, a lot of places are full already. Of course, the vaccine is going to be rolled out over the next several months. But as far as the doses that are available now. Many of them are full. So I guess we're going to have to be practicing patience a lot. So here's an email from Simon. And Simon says, would Kathy Castor like to see additional Supreme Court justices added to the court? That's an excellent question. I'll have to ask her that the next time I talk to her. I appreciate everyone being patient when I was having technical difficulties. All right, well, I'll read some more of the emails in just a bit, but let's go right now to the phone. People are waiting patiently. Let's hear from Richard in Tampa. Hi, Richard. What would you like to say?
Hi, thank you. It's Richard in Tampa.
Yes, you're on the air.
Good. I was just going to ask, I wish she was still on, Representative Castor, if she thought Trump's act, his phone call this weekend, was criminal. To me, it seemed to be. It seemed he was blatantly trying to change valid election results in his own favor. She said it's seditious and all that, but, you know, let's take that a step further. I'd like to see him prosecute this guy and you know, put an end to it completely, and I want either you or her thoughts, and I'll take my answer offline. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And let's ask our listeners that rather than having me weigh in. You know, sedition is a type of crime, so maybe you've already gotten your answer there, but I think your point is it a crime that will be prosecuted, that is, and, you know, will anyone serve time for it? So that's a question that has soon to be answered. Has yet to be answered, I meant to say. And of course, we heard last hour on Rob's show where he played Carl Bernstein's saying that this was way worse than the Watergate tape. This is way more of a smoking gun and way more criminal. So that's his opinion. What do you listeners think? 813-239-9663. We have Tommy in St. Petersburg. Hi, Tommy. Thanks for joining the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I just want to say, I think it's hilarious that Donald Trump is overtly committing treason. And it, even if he were to pull it off, it wouldn't overturn the election in any way, shape, or means. And it's just absolute stupidity. And he should be hung in public since he's so content on executing people federally. That's it.
Well, I don't think you literally mean that. Maybe you mean he should be have a fair trial and so forth.
Yes.
He should have a fair trial. Okay. What would the charges be?
Treason. He is trying to overthrow the Democratic elected, the whole process. He's trying to overthrow the whole entire process of America, the whole idea of America. And in the Constitution, that is treason.
All right, Tommy, thank you. I'm going to move on. We have a lot of other callers, but thank you for those thoughts. And I think that answers Richard was asking the question if he thinks that people should, if there should be criminal charges over this. And that's Tommy's position. Let me read a couple of more. James writes, sadly, nothing will happen. The Republicans are afraid of Trumpies and Democrats are just afraid. That's what James writes out there in cyberspace. We have a few people on the phone right now. I'm going to give out the phone number. One thing I'm noticing is that there are three men on the line and one woman. We're going to go to Marcy in Clearwater in just a second. But especially if you're a woman, give us a call. 813-239-9663. Marcy, you're on the air. What would you like to say?
Hello?
Hi, Marcy. Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, okay, yeah, I got a fuzz there. I didn't know you were talking to me. Okay, well, first of all, on Donald Trump, I think he's digging his own grave, and I just think whoever recorded that call was brilliant to do so, to show the kind of person that he is. He's in delusion, and personally, I think he should be prosecuted for trying to disrupt the democracy that is the United States of America. But I think whatever respect I might have had for him is completely gone now based on his activities since the election and the electoral college vote. Number two, regarding Pinellas County Health Department is the one that has information regarding getting the vaccines and getting the appointments for the vaccines. And they had a survey, and they said they would contact me. after giving my contact information about an appointment for the vaccine. So maybe that could be helpful. If somebody doesn't know what's going on, they can always Google the Pinellas County Health Department if they are in Pinellas County.
So did you get a notification?
I did not personally get one. It came through the community that I live in, and it was an email.
And are you?
Personally, no. But I just signed up the survey like 2 hours ago.
Oh, okay.
And on the Pinellas County side, they had said originally over the weekend that they were going to open today for appointments for people over 65. But then today it said it would be January 5th. So it could be, you know, I don't know what's going on in Hillsborough, but Pinellas, I don't think you can make an appointment until tomorrow.
Okay, the last time I checked, which was admittedly it was earlier this morning, it still said today at noon, and we're getting an email back from Alita who says the message that she gets at the Pinellas website, server busy, the server is busy and can't respond to your request, please try again later. So thank you for that, Alita, and also I guess Marcy maybe has figured out for us that tomorrow might be a better day to try the Pinellas. Personally, if I were really looking hard for something, I would keep trying today, but it might be, based on the information we're getting from Marcy, it might be tomorrow you might have a little bit more luck for Pinellas County. So I appreciate that. Anything else, Marcy?
No, I just love the station, and thank you all for giving us some real news. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and we love our listeners. Thank you all for giving us great listeners. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling in, Marcy. 813-239-9663 is the number to call. You can also email us at dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. Meg in St. Petersburg writes, I've been trying to register in Pinellas since noon. The server is busy and says to keep trying. I am 65, writes Meg. So thank you. Thanks to everyone for having patience and for especially sharing the information. It's good for us to know how other people are getting through. You know, maybe we'll get lucky and someone has gotten through to one of the counties and made an appointment and you know the trick that no one else knows. Or if you haven't had any luck, let us know as well, just so that people realize that there are others in the same boat. 813-239-9663. You're listening to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. Earlier in the show, we heard a little bit from Representative Kathy Castor, a congressmember from Tampa. So if you want to respond to anything she said about COVID relief bills, about the president Trump over the weekend, that infamous call that the Washington Post published first, give us a call, 813-239-9663. Tony writes, let's hope that Floridians remember that Marco Rubio, Rick Scott, and our governor, DeSantis, have been among the biggest enablers of this would-be dictator. Rubio is up for re-election in 2022, don't forget. Also, DeSantis is up for re-election in 2022, I'm going to add, saying that you have to do anything that Tony was saying. I'm just pointing out the fact that DeSantis and Rubio are both up for re-election. Simon writes again, Kathy Castor truly believes that Joe Biden received over 12 million more votes than President Obama and received more votes than any other presidential candidate. I haven't done the math. I haven't compared how many Biden got. I know he got a lot more than Obama, but I don't know for sure that it's 12. But let's say that Simon's numbers are right. What you're asking, Simon, is if Kathy Castor, or frankly, if I think that there were fake Biden votes that got counted, like a lot of them, millions maybe. I think that the number that he got was the number he got. I don't think that there was widespread voter fraud, and almost everyone has said that. Every elections expert has said that there was not widespread voter fraud, if that's what you're getting at, Simon. Thanks for that. We're going to go now to David in Clearwater, who's been waiting patiently. I appreciate you for hanging on. David, thanks. What would you like to say?
Well, I heard the first part of your show about the sedition with the Republican voting registrar in Georgia. And I just wanted to say that it reminded me of a cartoon I once saw of a baby with a little toupee on top of his head, and he's holding an egg, which is called United States elections, and the egg is cracked, and all of the inside of the egg is on the ground, and he's crying because he lost the election. But he lost the election, and it's time for us to move on. So, and there's nothing that the stuff that they're talking about doing, nothing's going to come of it. Biden's going to be inaugurated in the 20th. My only question is, will he have mounted a jet to go to Russia or North Korea by that time, or will he stick around? That's it.
And David, let me ask you a question. Sure. One of the responses that I hear whenever people, whenever, you know, it gets pointed out that, hey, the election is over, there have been counts and recounts, and there have been court cases, it's all been played out, and Joe Biden won.
Yes.
One thing I hear from people is, oh, come on, but the Democrats fought in 2000, and they wanted to get their election overturned in 2000, so that's all
Absolutely.
We're doing. So what's
Absolutely
the difference?
We did. Well, when the court ruled, Al Gore said, for the good of the republic, I concede. Exactly what happened.
All right. Thanks, David. I appreciate your call.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 813-239-9663. Let me read an email from Wendell in downtown St. Petersburg. He writes, hello. The next time someone tries to equate the Democratic Party with the failures of Venezuela and other so-called third world nations, we need to mention how 45 is acting like all the worst dictators of the world when their elections don't go their way. Also, is anyone curious as to how 45's call was recorded? Was that an oversight or was the conversation planned on being released? That's the question from Wendell. I wish I knew the answer. You know, I haven't looked at what the answer is, but I always assumed that Raffensperger's office recorded it, you know, presumably with the intention of covering his rear end or of releasing it just to show, because I think when it first came out, it was right after Trump had tweeted something that was contradictory to what Raffensperger's reality was. And so then the call showed up. Then it might be known who released it. I just haven't read that part, but I always just assumed it was his office that did it. This is an email that comes in from, it looks like, Tim in Riverview. It says, I'm waiting for Trump to be told he is fired. That's Tim in Riverview. And we have Rob in Thanota Sassa on the line. Hi, Rob. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to comment a couple things. One on Simon, that just while I was listening, you know, the idea I've heard that's like a trope on the alternative right. I have heard that before. Do you really think, you know, positing a question like it must be so absurd to think you must be an idiot? Do you really think that more people voted for Biden than they did for Obama? Well, why not? The truth is the Obama elections were not highly, they didn't incite a lot of like public fervor. I mean, against McCain, you know, no one was really all that for McCain and Palin. And then, you know, Romney, he's not a guy that's going to motivate. Those are what I call normal elections where you got, you know, 45% of the eligible voters go out and vote. This is very different. People were extremely passionate on both sides. So it shouldn't be surprising that a lot more people who were eligible to vote were motivated to go to the polls.
Also, Rob, I think that, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but there's almost certainly way, way, way more registered voters today than there were 12 years ago or 8 years ago.
Well, that's an important point because population continues to grow. So every election cycle, there are going to be a percentage, you know, higher. So you're right about that. And with Trump, I would say this, that, you know, if everything goes the way it's supposed to go, one could look at this in a positive light, that despite having a president who clearly, I mean, I used to call him fascist light, you know, but now I think really in another context, he would be a true fascist. But I think it may speak well of our system that despite, you know, all of his efforts and all of his supporters and even people now in Congress who should know better to pony or, you know, to pander to his electorate, maybe in hopes of, you know, being the heir apparent when Trump is gone to sort of bring his coalition along with them, it's working. You know, despite all of these efforts, the system is holding up, and I think that's heartening. That, you know, that the system is able to take a substantial hit by the president himself, and yet render a just and fair result.
All right, thanks, Rob. And before I let you go, I'm going to push back against one thing you said. I mean, I think okay. your overall theme is correct, but I think that there was a lot of excitement in 2008 when Barack Obama was running. So there was a lot of motivation for people to vote for a candidate in 2008. Yeah. But I agree with you that it wasn't anything like now where the motivation to vote against a candidate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right. Maybe I could have put it a little more clearly. It's not that I don't think there was excitement, but I think that this was this everybody came off the. You know, it's kind of like in baseball where you clear the bleachers, where everybody's out on the field. I think this was a clear the bleachers election where anyone who was ever going to vote was going to vote in this election, and that probably might account along with what you said about there being more voters for the sort of like unprecedented turnout.
All right. Thanks for the call, Rob.
Thank you.
All right. Great show. Thank you. So the number to call in is 813-239-9663. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. Earlier in the show, we heard Trump's phone call, part of Trump's phone call in to the Georgia elections official. And we also heard a short interview with Representative Kathy Castor of Tampa, who represents the Hillsborough County area in Congress. And we talked about things like this week's certification in Congress of the Electoral College votes, which is happening on Wednesday, and it may not even be completed until Thursday, depending on how long I was going to say shenanigans, and I was going to say antics, and I probably shouldn't use words like that. No, depending on how long things go on. How's that? All right. Joe writes, Trump's call to the Georgia Secretary of State was a crime under 52 U.S.C. 20511, 18 U.S.C. Okay, so this is the second one, 18 U.S.C. 595, etc. It's a crime punishable by up to 5 years in prison. It will be hard to argue Trump didn't know what he was doing when he violated Georgia state and federal election laws with the call. Criminally, this is far worse than anything Nixon said on tape, says Joe, who also gives his last name. So in case you want to Google and find out if he is an authority on the law, because I don't happen to know, this is Joe Howden writing that, giving us two criminal statutes that he says Trump's call violated. So thank you for that, Joe. Hope I didn't out you unnecessarily. Also, Lou in Plant City says, the phone call proves how corrupt Trump is. I find it disgusting that we are giving kudos to Republicans for doing their job and upholding the Constitution. Good to hear Representative Castor. She is what we need in D.C. So thank you for that, Lou in Plant City. I appreciate that. All right, we have Monty in Dunedin on the line. Hi, Monty. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Forgive me because I just got in my car and heard the situation about the vaccine registration. A little bit quickly, I was in worked in the immediate offices of the Secretary of Defense for 32 years. I had daily contact with the White House. I know how they work the system up there very well, and I know how to play the game too. I am now party affiliation because I had I went under 8 administrations and 16 secretaries of defense, so I had to be flexible. Now, for the point being, the most important thing I was going to say was that on Friday, I went online. I got 2 emails, one from the VA here, which was related to Bay Pines, and the other one was from Pinellas County for us to register. So I got online, and within 15 minutes, I did both of them. So what I suggest is that when you call in or get online, do it at a ridiculous time. Do it before the morning starts. Do it in the evening, and you'll pop right in. So it's not really immediate. You will get in that way. I'm almost sure of it. Yes, it happens all the time in the in our IT world that you're going to jam a server. Whatever. I just wanted to let you know that there is hope. And if you do it, I'd say tonight after 5, you'll probably get right in online.
All right. Thanks, Monty. I appreciate that. And maybe people can take advantage of that and let us know whether they did it. Call us back. I'm sure Rob will be talking about the vaccines tomorrow or the next day or something. So, or one of the other Midpoint shows. So let us know. That's great. I appreciate that. Thanks, Monty. 813-239-9663. We have Nick in Tampa has been waiting a while. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very good.
Yeah, I went online to try to get a vaccine appointment for myself, my mom, She's 91. I'm 66 and a half. I went for my mom first, and it actually sort of worked okay. But then, and I got her an appointment, I probably about 9:10, you know, before 9 o'clock, just the system was closed to you. And then when I tried to get one for myself, that's when the problem started, and I gave up about around 11:30. And then I got a confirmation email from their Department of Health saying my mom had two appointments. And the second one was the one I was trying to get. So I think their system just sort of picked up her name and put it on mine, you know, since she lives with me, same address, same phone number, I'm her caretaker, and gave her a second appointment, which shows how messed up their system is. I mean, this was like reminding me of trying to, you know, log in, trying to get concert tickets or something like that, you know, from a long time ago. You just keep hitting refresh, 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 refresh. Then when you get in, you fill in information. Then it says click here to confirm your appointment. Then the browser hangs, and then you're booted out. Then you try again. And I kept getting these weird error messages saying that this system is using a lot of power, which is the Department of Health website. And if you close this window, your computer won't run out of juice. You know, I have a desktop, so that didn't matter. And then I check on what's going on, and boy, that website used a lot of CPU power, was a memory hog, so I don't know what they're doing on that thing. But I can't believe they had to have seen this coming. For 1,500 slots in Hillsboro, you know, with a million people and, what, a couple hundred thousand seniors here? You know, this is worse than the ACA rollout. I don't know if you remember that. That website didn't work too well. And boy, did Obama get pilloried for it. You know, so what's going to happen with Governor DeSantis on this one? It was all run by the state, not by the local health authorities. So, you know, what's he going to do?
Wait, are you saying the local Hillsboro one was a state website? Is that what it looked like?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the impression I got.
I called the Department of Health here, the Hillsborough County mm-hmm. Health Department, afterwards and wanted to talk to their tech people about what was going on. And the lady told me, no, that's not our website. That is a state website.
Well, watch us find out soon that it was Deloitte Consulting or something like the one that did the unemployment website.
Yeah, that worked real well, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, this was a train wreck waiting to happen. And I can't believe that in the age of cheap computing, they didn't round up enough servers and other stuff to take care of it.
All right, Nick, I appreciate that. Have patience. I think that we're going to, you know, the first limitation is going to be the number of actual vaccinations that there are. So maybe in the long run, today's technical glitches won't look that bad. I know it's really frustrating for everyone, but we should all have patience. So I appreciate you telling us the story.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, one thing about the Trump phone call.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I found sort of curious about it, boy, it was a very good recording, very clear. You could hear Trump clear as a bell and most of the Georgia people. So that would tell me it was an inside job, not just somebody who, you know, happened to have his phone recorder on, you know, put it on the table when they were talking over, say, a speaker system.
Yep, I think you're right. It was probably intentionally recorded electronically the way you're saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks so much, Nick.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. It's 12:49 in the afternoon, and you're listening to Midpoint Monday. My name is Sean Canaan. We're taking phone calls right now, and right now we're going to go to Tina in Brooksville. Welcome back to the show, Tina.
Well, hi, Sean. Great job. We're up in Hernando County in Brooksville. We called as soon as we got wind that you had to call for an appointment. We called. Never got a call back. And, of course, the next thing I see is all the appointments are taken. So either they took, and it was busy, after I actually tried to call again, but I never got through. So hard to say what's really going on, but we never got an appointment. And I don't, personally, it's Hernando County. I don't even really expect we ever will, to be honest. And thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for that call, Tina. And thanks for the report from Brooksville and from Hernando County. We appreciate that. And again, I want to remind people that Daniel is getting to the bottom of all the vaccinations. How do you sign up? What are the technical problems? And where can you get more information? He's going to try to do that for all the counties in our area. And we're going to play that for you this afternoon on the WMNF News headlines. So while you're listening to great music with Flea and Bobby this afternoon, please listen to our newscasts at the bottom of the hour, and we'll try to get that information to you as soon as possible. And of course, it'll be on our website as well. This person, Jerome, writes, thank you for answering Simon without beating around the bush. I wonder how many other outcomes Trump has manipulated throughout his life to his advantage. Scary thing is his supporters probably want him to continue to try to subvert democracy just like they believe he was robbed. So that's an email from Jerome. Also, this Linda writes, why is it so hard for people to believe that there are more people in the USA that really don't like Trump, his agenda, his hate, and voted him out fair and square? It's just the power of people who believe in USA and the Constitution, unlike him, is what Lisa is writing. And we're going to go now to Patrick in Land O'Lakes. Is this Patrick?
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome, Clay. Why don't you just say your real name next time you call?
Well, my name is Clay Gilman Patrick Francis Colson, so Patrick is my name. And it's because I was banned for reasons I shouldn't have never been banned.
What would you like to say?
Well, you know, what I'd like you to ask Kathy Casper next time you talk to her is, this guy Louis Gohmert, whatever his name is, the one that had the suit, was dismissed and then went on to a conservative television station and actually called for violence. That's sedition. He should be expelled from the Congress and arrested for sedition. That put an end to all these idiots. And I want to know why it is that they're not looking to at least bring that up in Congress and attempt to have Gohmert expelled from Congress for calling for violence.
All right, that's it. Yeah, that's a good question. And in fact, that was on my list of things to ask Representative Castor. Unfortunately, we had technical difficulties, but I appreciate that. I think a lot of people were wondering that. Rob played that audio last hour as well. I believe that he had the audio for that. It's a very good question. I think that people are wondering that. Why is Representative Gohmert getting away with saying things like that? I think he's since walked it back a little, but that's some pretty serious statements from the member of Congress there from East Texas. So thank you for that call, Clay. Also, we have a call here from Daryl in Sefner. Hi, Daryl. What's on your mind?
A couple things about the Georgia phone call. First, the previous caller said that, thanks for taking my call, by the way, said that he wondered how the recording came to happen. Well, it was recorded by the Rassenberger and his lawyer, and the reason they did it because they had already ignored 18 previous calls to the president, and then they, amongst themselves, they cited that Lindsey Graham had tried to do the same thing, basically, with them, and they decided it would be in their own best interest if they recorded it so they could, have proof of what was being said. And the other item I want to point out was a lawyer, a guy named Glenn Kushner. He's an ex-prosecutor, JAG guy, and I didn't know it, and I haven't really had a chance. Is that Trump can, President Trump, either way, can be impeached out of office to where it disqualifies him from running for president again. You know anything about that?
Just from a logistical standpoint, it's true. He could be impeached, but he's only going to be in office for 3 more weeks. And so.
No, you were listening.
Sorry.
He can be impeached out of office. In other words, after he's done January 20th, he could be impeached and to where he can't ever run as president again. He can be impeached out of office.
I don't know enough about it to know whether that's the case or not.
I didn't get a chance to look this morning. I had to go to work.
Because it seems like impeachment is a remedy for removing someone from office. So once they're not in office anymore, my gut feeling is that that's not something that where impeachment wouldn't be a remedy.
Well, I mean, it's nice to look into it, but this is what this lawyer, who's a constitutional guy, said. So, anyway, and I listened to a lot of his stuff, and he seems pretty reliable.
Cool. Great.
Anyway,
thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Daryl. I appreciate you calling in. And if you'd like to join the conversation in the last 6 minutes of the show, give us a call at 813-239-9663. We have an email from Joy, who writes, I urge all Florida residents to pay attention to the actions of their representatives. My representative, Gus Bilirakis, signed on to the failed Texas lawsuit to overturn legitimate election results. I called his office immediately and made it very clear I believe he committed treason and does not represent me. Please remember all politics are local and let your representatives know your displeasure. I shudder to think how he will act on Wednesday. So that is Joy talking about her member of Congress, Gus Bilirakis, who is a Pinellas County Republican. I believe he represents parts of Pasco County as well. Jeff writes, Trump recently dethroned Obama as the most admired person on a Gallup poll. Some people still dig him. I don't know if it means anything. So that's an email from Jeff. We have Gary in Dunedin on the line. Hi, Gary. What's on your mind?
Hey, you know, I look at the American people in the context of having recently reread the book called The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, which is really the best, most factual and comprehensive look at how the German people allowed a crazy lunatic like Hitler to rise up. And you know what? The American people are just as feckless and lacking in spine and moral outrage and prioritization skills as the Germans were as Hitler rose to power. I cannot believe in the mainstream media, even on this station, that the number one topic of conversation is not that the Trump and the GOP are doing a coup, a seditious, treasonous, open, criminal, gangsterish coup right in front of our faces. It should be headline news, not just that he made that phone call, which is very similar to what he did to extort the president of the Ukraine, but is clearly a violation of law, and it just goes along with all of his other criminal acts. We have our own American Mussolini rising up with the complicity and conspiratorial alliance of Ted Cruz, DeSantis, Bilirakis, and many others. We need to look at these people as if they were the Confederate Army, especially the commanders, and we need to do to them what we did to the Confederates before we lose this country the same way the Germans in the 30s lost their country to Hitler.
All right. Thank you, Gary. I think a lot of our callers have said some of the similar things you said, so I hope that you're listening to all those things. So thank you for pointing out those out again in a very forceful way. I appreciate that. I'm not trying to, it sounds like I'm undermining your call, or that wasn't my intention at all. I didn't mean for that to come out that way. So I'm glad you called, Gary. Thank you. Tom writes, on Wednesday, I sure hope that Ted Cruz doesn't plan on reading Dr. Seuss books again. So that's Gary's hope for the new year. Also, Paulie in Ozona writes, Bernstein also said that if Republicans want to save face, they should join with Democrats and demand that Trump resign immediately. I agree. So thank you for that email, Paulie. Let's go now to Mike in Tampa. Hi, Mike. What would you like to say?
Yeah, Biden's a little dictator. He's the one that's for NAFTA and the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which takes away our sovereignty and puts everything on the International Commission where they can overrule legislation, they can overrule environmental laws. So Biden's a little dictator.
All right. Thank you for that, Mike. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much for calling in. 813-239-9663. If you'd like to get in the last couple minutes, actually, we have Norman in Zephyr Hills. Norman, you're on the air, but can you make it really quick?
Yes, sir. I really believe everything we've been seeing for the past few months are things that the president planted the seeds for the last 4 years. He planted the seeds about fake news. He went to the Ukraine and he tried to condemn Biden. He already figured that the Democratic Party only had a chance of fighting him with Biden. He saw that coming. So he tried to attack Biden. Then he went to...
Quickly.
Yeah, I'm losing the last point.
That's all right, Norman. You know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna thank you for your call. You made some great points. I appreciate that. I am going to move on because we are ending the show. That's what the music means. And I want to read this last email from Bev. I agree with the previous caller and would add Rise and Fall of the Third Reich is available in audio form. So thank you for that tip, Bev. And I want to thank everyone who called, emailed, and texted today. And thanks to DT and Frank Knox for their help with the show. I'm Sean Canaan. Tomorrow at noon, your hero, Mark Bureau, will host Midpoint Tuesday. Next Monday, we'll be raising funds during a two-day membership drive. So if you like Midpoint Monday, you can donate now at WMNF.org. And I want to thank my guest, Representative Kathy Castor, for our interview earlier in the show. You can watch the interview later on. I'll put it up on our website, and it'll be up on YouTube as well. Stay tuned now for Latino 54. That's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening, and have a happy new year. Live from